For many of our students, it's a very stressful time, exam period, but it is not only about keeping up the stress and learning as hard as possible for the exams, it's also a way of organizing your life, getting to the moment, the ultimate moment of doing the exam. We'd like to learn more about this special experience that everyone has to go through when he goes towards his diploma in the end. Welcome, Limi.
Hello, hi.
Welcome, Terry.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Just give us a brief introduction of you and how you are in contact with the stress of exams.
Well, at the moment, I am not in contact with the stress because I have graduated, but I have been a student applied physics for 7 years, so I've seen lots of exams. I have also taken lots of different courses in psychology and innovation, so I've had some additional stress as to trying to figure out how to actually study for an exam, which is something I didn't know yet, which adds some additional stress. But I actually like what you said, that it's not only the stress, it's trying to organize, it's trying to do it, it's trying to live up to that moment.
And that does not only mean preparing for the exam itself, because it takes much more. You need to survive these days.
Right. It's actually two things. You need to survive the stress and the long days, but you also need to learn how to study. You could throw yourself at your textbook for weeks on end and still not make it through chapter one, or you could try to get a glimpse of everything and then study what you don't know. For example, there's all sorts of ways of studying, and it's also a way of getting to know how you work.
Yes, definitely. So unlike Terry, I'm still very much in the exam zone. I just finished my second quartile of exams, so I'm very much a victim of the exam stress period. I definitely recognize what he meant. So I think everyone has their own way of studying, own method of studying, where you could be a person who just goes to the library at 8 a.m. and sits there till 10 p.m., or you could be someone who studies at home, or you could be someone who's partially at the library, partially at home, partially doing sport. So it's a combination. And I think, like Terry mentioned, it's really finding your own way of how you study best and what is the best way you can succeed in those exams.
But finding your own way sounds a bit like it takes a year or two before you're used to it.
I think the pressure of wanting to pass or needing to pass the exams kind of speeds up the process of finding out your ideal way of tackling the exam period.
That's so funny. It makes it more difficult, but also makes you, well, attempt it harder, so you might find it earlier. But it also happens that you don't find it yet. You find it after a year or after 2 years. Mm-hmm. That happens.
Yeah.
But I can imagine there is this circle where you never get out of it. You get stressful, you want to work harder, you work longer hours, you take less time for relaxation, but it doesn't help in the end.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is very difficult. One thing that actually helps with that is students may probably... students might be familiar with the cycle of having exams, failing one or two, then having resits at the second quartile, resits at the third, and then it stacks and becomes more difficult. And then at the end, you have a summer holiday. So you might still need to work then, but after that, you don't have your resits together with your exams, which is a bit of a shake-em-up that can get you out of that stress.
And what would be a kind of optimum? Because there is a maximum of hours, at least 24 is the maximum of hours that you will do your studies. But I guess 24 hours is not the best.
That is very true. I'm not sure if most students recognize that when they're studying, but you really do need your rest. You really do need to get out. And I find that variation and trying to get together with some friends, trying to get out, try to actually eat well is equally as important.
Mm-hmm. Is that a matter of planning in advance your moments to take a break or to do sports, or is that something else?
It's both planning it and actually being aware that, for example, I've been studying for 2 hours, but I can't get past this exercise. Well, maybe you want to do something different, either a different exercise or go outside, for example.
Yeah, because getting stuck is very costly in the preparation for an exam. If you cannot get past an exercise and you spend a day on it and you spend a second day on it, you lose all that time for the rest.
Right, you lose time and you lose hope.
What I often recognize with those kind of problems is like when I'm stuck on a question and I'm just sitting there trying to figure out this question, I know it's something not that difficult, and then I just like zone myself out from the topic and I just do something completely different or just go out for a walk, like you said, mentioned Terry, then I come back and I try the question from scratch again and it somehow magically works out perfectly and quite fast. So I think students somehow just sit down with one question specifically and try to tackle it so much and really bothers them. But then if you just take a break and just give your brain a kind of pause for that a bit of time, then it really helps, I think.
I do think I recognize that also very much from how to pass an exam. Mm-hmm. Because if you just start with reading the first exercise and try to solve it, and then you panic and you cannot do it, and you try harder and harder and harder, it takes you a long time before. Yeah. So just glancing over the paperwork and read all the questions and then let it sink in a bit, maybe a good way, a good strategy of passing the exam.
Yeah, definitely. Or at least like once you try a question, you realize you're not able to solve it. Instead of being stuck there for too much of time than it deserves, just move on to the next question and see how you can tackle the next one. See if you can, and then go back to the other question would be how I would suggest. But Terry might have another.
That is very true. I agree that planning your exam also is important. Not getting stuck, looking ahead. And also taking a break during your exam. But I'm wondering now, do you mentioned that you look ahead, but do you sometimes, Limi, forget or get stressed and don't do it? I know I didn't always do it correctly.
Yes, sometimes that happens because of the time limitations was what my major problem is. So once I finish the last question, but then my first question was not completely answered, if I go back, I realize, okay, I don't have enough time. But I still think it's worth the sacrifice in that sense, because otherwise you're missing out on points which you could have easily gotten. So sometimes I am stuck on a question, and then in the last minute I realize, oh, I could have done the other questions because I knew how to do them, but I was so stuck in the previous question, which was actually something I couldn't do, that, yeah, I just lost the time and I lost the points. So,
right.
Yeah.
Looking into this as a mathematician, you could spend your 3 hours of an exam where you constantly think, I can spend the next 15 minutes just on the topic where I can score the easiest the next point.
Yeah.
Which could be a very weird sequence of going through the exercises.
Yeah.
and good luck to your examiner if you just note down question 1B, question 2C, question... That's not how it works, but...
But you can manage it, of course, in the way you hand in the paperwork then. I have a colleague on Radio for BrainPod, Peter Simons. You know him pretty well, Lima, by now. And he says it's just... it's not only time management, it's also... it can be seen as a matter of managing your energy.
Right.
Because it is a different type of energy to really dive into something new or to routinely try if you can do the third exercise. And spreading that well over the day in a way that matches with your own psychological cycle may be pretty helpful there.
Do you mean preparing for exams or the actual exam itself?
I think in both you can apply.
Both cases, okay, yeah. I need to think about that for a second.
So are there special things that you do early in the morning and other things that you do later in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Because that can be much more effective.
Yes, definitely.
I would agree.
Yeah. Because for me in the mornings are the time when I'm like focused the best. So I'm a morning person. So morning is the time when I'm 100% awake and I have the maximum energy. So at those times I try to do the courses which are the most difficult for me. So I try to like also if there's a lot of reading to do, because I know I can focus, my mind is more fresh then. I sit down and read more. Or if there's something that I really don't like doing, I do it in the morning. I can just get done with it and then I can do the more easy, fun stuff in the later afternoon. So that's how I divide my day, but...
Right. I don't recall actually planning that, but I am aware, because I don't really plan, but I am aware that there are very different sorts of exercises that you can do or very different sorts of studying. Take, for example, in physics, you have difficult concepts that you need to grasp, very abstract concepts that you need to think about. That requires a lot of attention in your brain. You also have the fact that you need to organize your what do you call it when you write down your notes for example. You need to note that down. That requires some practice. And there's all sorts of things to do that require, as you mentioned, different amounts of energy or focus, also planning.
One of the things that is pretty important if you learn a very difficult subject is that there must be a moment that you understand it, that you can oversee more or less what is in the chapter mm-hmm. and what is it is all about. That is relatively far away from the moment that you really manage it, that you're on top of that material. An important milestone for me in doing an exam would have been the moment that I think that I understand the topics.
Right.
And preferably that's long before
right.
the final week.
Das Aha-Erlebnis. That is actually very true as well. Or now I could be very preachy and say that students, and I personally as well, don't usually study well in advance and that they postpone it to the end. But it's also a matter of just in the class, for example, if you understand it, if the quarter falls, you dive into exercises more enthusiastically, more clearly. That's very helpful.
So the moment that you more or less can understand it could also be a very important moment during the time that the classes are being taught, so long before
right.
the exam. If you drop out there, that is very costly in terms of any moment that you then sit in the class, listen to a teacher, maybe waste time because you don't understand what he's talking about.
Right. Or zoning out for just a moment so that you do not have that moment of recognition that's also sad.
When I was doing my own studies, I was in the lucky situation that we just had 2 hours of a specific topic, 4 hours a week at most. And then you had really time to let things sink in. And if you couldn't attend a class, you could still catch up.
Right.
I think today that's much more difficult.
That is actually because of the amount of ECTS in your quartile is quite big. Because it's a short quartile, that is difficult, in fact. And I've often heard people say that if they fall behind, they cannot catch up anymore. I'm not sure how to solve that the best.
Yeah, I think falling behind is a really big kind of a hole that you
right.
you go down, and then once exam week comes around, and they're like, oh no, I have all these weeks to catch up on. So like last quarter, what I did, for example, was I knew I would go back into the talk because I also had 4 courses. So I had to plan a bit more strategically. So what I did was I kind of divided my day and told myself, okay, in this part of the day, I'm going to do the exercise for this course. And it didn't work out always, but it still made me achieve more than I would do without this kind of overview and telling myself that I have to do these exercises week by week or day by day. So I think one tip that I would give is when you start your quartile, just see when you can figure out which exercises, which courses you work on at what time of the week, so that you also plan out in your extracurricular stuff. So if you're gonna go do some sports in the morning on Wednesday morning, then you say, okay, Wednesday evening, I'm gonna do this instead. So if you really know what time you can do which exercises, and if you keep going like that, although if you may lag behind 1 week, it's still easier to catch up rather than just saying I'm gonna do it at some point but never doing it.
At some point in the near future.
Yeah.
This is planning what you mentioned, but what I think is important as well, also for people that do not plan like me, for example, what is also important is to recognize that at some point you need to let the problem sit for a moment. If you're lagging behind 2 weeks, you could try to put all your energy in the first week and be an additional week behind after that, mm-hmm. or you could try to just take a bit of a glimpse at the first 2 weeks, try to understand it, try to get that aha moment, but not dive into everything.
Mm-hmm.
You need to recognize when to say, well, I can do that right now, for example.
But to be honest, I struggle a lot with that because for me personally, it takes a longer time to get the aha moment mm-hmm. than some other people would do. So then if I'm lagging behind a week or two and I go back and I look at those, it takes me quite some while to grasp the concepts and then do the exercises. And
right.
in the meantime, I'm already behind week 5 or 6.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's difficult.
It is a challenge.
At one point during my studies, I noticed I wasn't studying well. I flunked some classes and that was stacking up a bit. And at one point, I was trying to do all the exams at that point, but not studying well enough. But at one point, I decided, okay, I really need to ace my exam of quantum mechanics, and I will postpone my thermodynamics to after the summer holidays. And the that actually worked. That got me out of that not getting things. And what was also nice for me at that moment was that during the summer, I was studying, but at the exam, everyone was very stressed out about that thermodynamics exam, and I was a bit less. I understood that I let go of that for a moment, so I had less stress and I was able to make it. So that was nice.
Yeah.
That could be a very similar question as whenever you prepare for an exam and you are very doubtful whether you will pass the exam, you could do two things. Say, forget it, I will not pass it anyhow, so why go there? You could also take your bet and see whether you still pass it. But also the experience of sitting there on the exam is the best preparation possibly for the next exam.
Right.
Unless you get very stressed from it when you fail.
Unless you think, oh, well, apparently I can do it. But the actual exam, both in terms of material and in terms of the situation, is both a good practice for you. I agree.
So how about the stress of the exam? I can imagine that it helps if you just sit there, well, if I fail, that's already calculated in my bet. Or it may even rise the stress level next time. How would you experience this?
For me, I think like if I go in with the expectation, okay, I haven't studied enough and I think it's going to be a fail, but I'm just going to give it a shot anyway. And I'm just sitting there and then I'm more calm, I realize. Interestingly enough, for some courses when I don't study enough, another course where I studied enough, when I studied enough and I'm going for the exam, I'm much more restless and stressed, probably because I really want to remember every single information I tried to learn.
Right.
Whereas the other one, I'm like, okay, this is the amount I studied, I tried within the time I have, I tried as much as I could, I'm going to go give it a shot and let's see if I pass or not. And then I'm much more calm, I take it more easy. And yeah, it's just, and I wish I had that same level of calmness with the other exam too. But it is quite difficult. But yeah, I can imagine some people being also more stressed for the other way around than what I have. So being more confident for the one which is studied more and hence being more calm, and the other way around for the exams they studied less for. But yeah.
Right. Well, Veris, you can be stressful about an exam itself. You can be stressful about getting your ECTS. You can be stressful about, oh, well, I studied this amount, and if I don't make it, then that will be useless. So there's all sorts of things that you are thinking about. And I found that for me, it was very important to just sit back and relax a bit.
Mm-hmm.
For example, just before the exams, people were often still studying or asking themselves questions, and I was casually walking
meditating.
In.
Meditating.
Even almost meditating, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though meditating can also be stressful.
Yeah.
That's also true, because when you think, I need to meditate, I need to sit down, I need...
Then you have that constant...
Right,
yeah.
Similar to trying to study.
Mm-hmm. And then even the meditation itself may show to yourself that you're not really relaxed.
Right.
I'm not relaxed.
That causes more stress in the cycle.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah. What I often think like students miss out on is the fact that it's not what I really find satisfying and a success in when I'm preparing for exams is, did I really manage the amount of time that I had and the capability that I have? Did I use it to my maximum? Within the, let's say, 5 days that I had, the amount that I personally can achieve is a certain level, and the amount that Terry would achieve is a different level. So it's just hard to accept the fact that you are different from others, and maybe you can do much less than the other person could do. But what you really need to count is, did I work as much as I should be doing, or to my maximum capability? And that's, I think, my personal opinion, how you should measure success. And so then it's easier also to accept the fact, even if you fail an exam, it's so much easier to accept, okay, I tried my best, but it didn't work out. Next time I'm going to try a different strategy and see if it works out or not.
Also, I did fail the exam, but I did also achieve more than I expected or than was expected of me in this difficult quartile.
Yeah.
For example, don't compare yourself to others.
Yeah, but I think that's quite a hard one, especially technical university, because you're surrounded by like so many different people with so many different capabilities. And if you're someone who's slowly lagging behind, which I personally experienced my first year, and then I would see all my other companions who would be scoring 9s and 10s, and I'm barely passing, that would create a lot of stress in me. So that stress was sometimes even more than the own stress that I had because I couldn't finish something. So when you see a peers doing so much better, then it just caused so much stress. But then you just have to accept the fact that this is my limit and I'm going to try my best. And I was someone who always did something on the side, so extracurricular stuff, whereas other people wouldn't do it. So it's really like a trade-off because, yeah, sometimes you're better at some things, whereas others are better at other things.
Do you still have that stress?
Partially sometimes, but I think I'm more at peace in a way and more know I understand myself better now. So I know I'm going to do radio from Brentford recording, for instance.
Right.
And my other friends are studying at the library. But I need this break, whereas they don't. So it's just who I am and how they work.
That reminds me of a story when I was teaching at a university in California. And the first question I got, do you grade on the curve? That is, do you beforehand already know that 75% of your students will pass the exam, 25% will fail? Mm-hmm. So you just set a grading system depending on how the good students did and how the poorer students did. That must make you very stressful then in the way.
Definitely. And how did you answer the question?
Well, I was more used to European system because I think if you prepare an exam very well, you as a teacher, as someone teaching that class, you should have a kind of threshold where you say this is a minimum level that I want my students to achieve, rather than I want 75% of my students to pass it anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But that brings me also to a question. Do you think at the moment that the way the exams are set up, that you really master the topic? Because there could be a difference in passing the exam and really understanding the topic and having something useful for it. If you know what kind of questions the teacher will ask, you will optimize for that, which is different from understanding quantum mechanics in the end.
That is very, very true.
Are you happy with our exams?
Do you want to go first?
Well, there are differences in how teachers do this, in what you can expect, in how courses are. One of our courses, for example, had very predictive exams, and the course itself was very useful, very interesting. Well, very useful and a bit interesting, and very useful, as I mentioned. But it wasn't. The exam was repetitive, so you could study for that, and that is just a missed opportunity. Other exams, you needed to just understand everything, otherwise you couldn't make it, for example. So,
not all exams are equal in that respect.
Right.
That's basically what I understand from your question,
right,
from your answer.
Yeah. Long story short, yes.
Yeah, I definitely recognize the problem as well, because I would study for an exam trying to master all the concepts and trying to understand every single concept like to my fullest, because otherwise I can't move on. However, I realize sometimes for some courses, like Terry mentioned, you just have to learn the tactic of how the questions are being asked.
Right.
So even if you don't completely understand the topics, you can still get a good grade on your exam, which is kind of, I don't know, I don't really see the point in it in a way, because then you don't really master the concept.
Right.
So that's a mistake that I often make when I try to master all the concepts, and then in the end I don't do enough past papers, so I don't know how the questions are asked, then I fail in the end. Whereas my classmates who just do the past papers, and then they get like good grades.
And then they got the 9s and the 10s, which must be frustrating.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, it's just different.
I'm very scared that I know that the Dutch government noticed that many people pass their driver's exam exactly in this way.
Interesting. That's a bit scary.
Well, it's not the Flemish system, so that is a bit better. But
okay. I also like to know from you, what are your personal ways to relax during the exam period? Is that meditation? Is that sports? Is that browsing the internet?
I do sports. For me, like taking a run or just, mostly taking a run really gives me a lot of energy. So in the morning before going to the library, I would just go to the gym and just take a run, or go outside and take a run. And that just really makes me awake and energetic. And then I'm just like so much more fast in the day. Maybe the speed of running also runs inside me. And then I just go home, take a shower, eat my breakfast, head off to the library, get things done faster. And otherwise, also just calling people, for example, like calling my parents, calling friends, seeing how they're doing, making them give me like a short motivational speech on how I can master the courses, and going out for walks. Yeah, that's mainly what I do.
The physical exercise may help.
Physical exercise,
it's very different from the mental.
True. Yeah.
The intellectual thing. Terry?
But it's very true. Sports are marvelous, both to get out a bit and to energize yourself, and also just to physically remove yourself from your book, because you can study behind your laptop and then put on a movie on Netflix on your laptop without having moved an inch, which is somewhat relaxing, but also not really.
Yeah. I totally agree. But I think it's a pitfall that many students fall into, where they think, oh, I don't have enough time to study, then I definitely can't go to the gym either, because that's going to take up another hour or two, which is so sad, because sometimes once you do that, take that break off and go to the gym, coming back, you're so much more productive than you were previously.
Right.
So it's actually more effective. I guess, do you agree with that?
Right. Well, I both agree with that, mm-hmm. and I also agree with the notion that you just need to take care of yourself.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
It might be useful for one exam to study until 4 a.m., but that's not good.
That's not a way that you remember years later still what the subject was about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No. Yeah.
For example, one tidbit about understanding the exam material is that in quantum mechanics, you understand it and then you don't anymore, and then you understand it and then you don't anymore. And because quantum mechanics is just strange, it's difficult to comprehend, and it's often said that if you understand it, you do not understand it yet, because you first need to be confused again.
So there are these subjects which are very hard to understand, and even if you first understand it, there is another layer. You can start to challenge yourself. So if this is true, then how about?
Right.
And circling around in this can be very helpful in deepening your understanding of it. And I think quantum mechanics may be very much an example of that.
Right, that is true. Comparable to that is that you can understand what a teacher says, or you can follow his reasoning, but then when you need to do it yourself, you're just dumbfounded, thinking, well, there's understanding and there's being able to comprehend, work through it, do it yourself, comparable to the quantum. If you think, oh, that seems logical, you're understanding a bit, but not entirely everything yet, for example.
I know a very good teacher, Jacques van Lint, who used to say on discrete mathematics, you should not explain it in a way that is too easy, because then students think that this subject is simple.
And that could be a pitfall, yes.
Of course. He was an excellent teacher, and he could explain things in a very simple way, but sometimes he intentionally made things difficult to understand.
Right.
And I know the same from microelectronics, where overseeing the total thing is very difficult. So knowing all the bits and pieces does not make you a kind of system architect that can put all these things together.
Can or cannot?
Cannot.
Right.
Cannot. Yeah.
The social media part, and using social media as like a stress relief while studying,
mm-hmm.
that's something I think because you can just distract it and procrastinate using Instagram or Facebook or something.
That is
so one way to spoil your exam is to look at your Facebook messages all the time, but still Facebook can help, Limi?
Yeah, what I often see is that when you're stressed, you just go on your phone, you just want to scroll through Instagram, see what other people are doing. And then that ends up, in the end, giving a short-term kind of a little bit of relaxation. However, in the end, in the long term, I don't think it helps at all. Also, it's like, as we all know, and being people of the 21st century, social media and the internet and just like our phones in general are the biggest distraction we ever have. So sitting in the library and like studying for 10 minutes and then just quickly looking at the message you just got might be a big distraction, at least for me it is, because then I would think about the message I got, what reply I'm going to give, or the social media post I saw, because that's so much more interesting at that point than the calculus I'm studying at the moment.
But this is very similar to the theory about the open office, which is very popular these days. But the experts say that all these casual chats where you're just interrupted by 30 seconds effectively cost you 20 minutes every time of effective, productive time. Yes. Because you are distracted.
Yes.
You are not overseeing your problem anymore in the same depth.
Yeah. Because your mind is just drifted away in that sense. So even if you might be typing for 30 seconds, your mind is still away and lost and still thinking about something else. Because in that moment, you really don't want to do your mathematics or physics. You just really want to think about something else, something more joyful. So yeah, it's so easy just to get in that trap and just keep that going. I sometimes see students who have their web WhatsApp browser open while studying. And it's really difficult for me to understand how they can cope with that. Because for me personally, what I do right now, and which is one tip that I would give to a lot of students, would be to just turn off your internet on your phone, not have your social media on your internet on your computer either. So I turn off my internet completely off my phones. I keep my phone away, and then I time myself. I say, okay, 45 minutes, I'm going to be completely studying. And then 15 minutes, I'm going to have on my phone, or I'm going to go walk around or see a friend or something. And then with that timely schedule, it's so much easier for me to get stuff done and also be less distracted while I'm studying and be more focused. So that's a really a big tip that I would give to a lot of students. Just keep your phone away, turn it off. I sometimes just give my phone to my friend as well and tell him or her, please don't give me my phone until 1:30. And then even if I ask in between, don't give it to me. I don't need it. So, and that usually really works. So yeah.
Do you listen to music?
Well, very well organized.
I try to be. Music, yes. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
But I see people using YouTube to watch, to listen to music, but at the same time waste a lot of time in scrolling through the playlists. And,
yeah. But I think you just really have to see...
That's social media.
That's social media. You just have to see... You can't really trick yourself. So you might say, okay, my Instagram is off, my phone is off, but I'm going to go on YouTube for listening to music. Yeah, but you actually go to some other sites where you're just watching something else. But that doesn't help in the end because then you're just distracted either way. So maybe an option could be listening to music on Spotify instead and not going to Spotify other podcasts or something along those lines. So yeah, just knowing yourself and knowing how you work best is something that I would suggest. Yeah,
I would agree with that last part, that to know yourself is best, and it's for everyone a bit more nuanced than shutting everything down and being able to do that. It's difficult as well, and there are some exercises that you can do whilst talking to people or whilst being distracted. And occasionally when you're just forcing yourself into an exercise and occasionally you need to be pulled out of that, then social media can help, just because it's a bit of a stress reliever. But people almost always go overboard and scroll through too long through it.
Yeah, exactly.
And take, for example, also music. You can you have different kinds of music. You have music that is like a background noise for you that gives you energy, or if you have rap music with all sorts of text, you can't really listen to that and focus on your paper, for example. Mm-hmm. So that's also funny to me.
Yeah, I agree. Relate with that.
And to top that off, that those annoying commercials during your YouTube listening, that is even more annoying to me.
Yeah.